We're just seconds away from a conversation with Rick Smith of the Citizens Climate Lobby. It's a nonpartisan organization that focuses on the impact of climate change across the nation and around the world. We're going to talk about the effect climate change has not only on individuals, but also business. Rick Smith, coming up next. Inside on Business, the News Hour is made possible through the support of Taro International. You know, an amazing 80% of any person's ability to succeed is directly tied to interpersonal skills rather than technical skills. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro. That's TERO.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa and Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
It is the Business News Hour. Thanks so very much for clicking through and for listening today. Our guest is Rick Smith. He is representing the CitizensClimateLobby.org, which we will have links up on our radio blog. We're going to talk about the impact of climate change, not only on individuals, but also businesses. Rick, welcome to the Business News Hour. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
You and I have known each other for some time, and I have known you as an activist in many different organizations in the greater Des Moines metro and beyond. But this is something that I had no idea that you were so involved with. Tell us, what is the Citizens Climate Lobby? What does that mean?
Yeah, so let me give you a little bit of background. First of all, Citizens Climate Lobby has been around about a decade. I've been involved about 6 years on a local level. We have 500 chapters around the world and growing.
Wow.
We have a monthly national call that we all participate in, and then we have monthly meetings here in Des Moines. There are six chapters, I believe, now in Iowa, so it's growing in terms of people wanting to get involved. Our primary goal is to move away from the use of fossil fuels to renewables as quickly as humanly possible.
And when we talk about this, you know, there's much confusion about climate change, and people used to talk about this as temperature change, and they say, "Oh, well, look, we just had a foot of snow. How come there? Yeah, this is all bunk." But science seems to be supporting this theory that the Earth is warming for a number of reasons, and one of those reasons tends to be what we're putting in the air. Is that accurate?
It is absolutely accurate, and you're absolutely right. One of the frequently asked questions is, well, you know, it was just like below zero here. How can this be climate change? How can the climate be warming if, in fact, you know, we get these extreme temperatures? Well, if you talk to climate scientists, they'll tell you this is really part of climate change. So overall, the Earth is warming. The last 6 years have been the warmest in history, recorded history. Iowa is experiencing temperature change as well. So the temperatures in Iowa have gone up about 1.5 degrees in the last 30 years. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot, but the impacts, which I'll explain in a moment, are really quite amazing and quite scary and frightening for the future.
What do you say, Rick Smith, when people say, well, you know, this is a bunch of bunk? The president says, hey, this is, you know, I'm not so sold on this. And other members of Congress, this is a climate lobby. So obviously you are lobbying our representatives in Washington, and I would imagine in states, to support your move. So what do you say when folks come at you and they think, nah, it's just, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, so there's no question there is a political aspect of this, and some people have made up their mind. They're denialists. They don't think it's real. We depend on scientists. And not only do we depend on worldwide scientists who agree 99% that it's warming, we really rely on Iowa scientists because we want to talk about Iowa issues, what this means to Iowans, what it means to people in Windsor Heights or Clive or Des Moines or Waterloo. What's going to happen in Iowa? That's what we really concentrate on. Every year, Iowa climate scientists issue a statement. It's called the Iowa Climate Statement. They've been doing this for 11 years. And each year, they talk about the impact on Iowa. This is made up of, this year was signed by over 200 scientists around the state. from almost all of our universities and colleges. So the impact is quite amazing.
And when we talk about that impact, let's kind of tick down what we're experiencing in Iowa today and perhaps what we might be experiencing tomorrow in the future. And why we want to center on Iowa, and I think that's a great strategy, because here in the Midwest, or wherever you happen to be, it's one thing to see polar bears on ice, and that doesn't necessarily connect with consumers or with government officials. But when we talk about it on a much localized level, that does have an impact, yes?
It really does, and that's really where we focus, is what this means to Iowans, not only now, but in the future. If you look back in just the past 20 years, Iowa has the number four state in terms of floods. We rank number four.
Wow.
Which you don't normally think of that. But remember in 2008, the tremendous flooding we had in Cedar Rapids, Iowa City. We broke a levee in Des Moines, flooded Berlin. 2010, again, we had another major flood. Ames was underwater. Hilton had, I think, 12 feet of water in Hilton Coliseum. And now last year, we saw flooding, a spectacular flood in Metro Des Moines. 9 inches of rain fell in 4 hours. That's considered a 500-year flood, and that's what the signers are saying. We're going to expect more 500-year floods, but more frequently than 500 years.
And anyone listening to this conversation would remember those issues. And I know people have talked about it. I mean, I talk to people at the cattle barn at the state fair, for crying out loud, and they're saying, my gosh, did you experience that 5-inch rain that we had in 45 minutes or an hour and a half or whatever it happens to be? And that's being noticed not only in metropolitan communities, but also among our farmers and ranchers.
Exactly. One of the, I think, the critical understanding about this is, why is this happening to Iowa?
Right.
We're seeing droughts in some parts of the world. We're seeing excess rain in other parts of the world. Iowa is fortunate in one way. We're actually getting more rain than we've ever had before. Typically, we got about 30 inches of precipitation a year. Now it's closer to 50 inches of rain a year. Last year, Northwest Iowa had 55 inches of rain in 2018. That is almost double the rate. And the reason for this, 80% of our moisture comes from the Gulf of Mexico. As the Gulf of Mexico warms up, that pumps more humidity into the air. That air flows over Iowa, and then it dumps not only more rain, but these extreme weather amounts. You know, 8-9 inches is extremely unusual. In fact, these are historical records. Now, what this means for businesses,
right.
Four Mile Creek, we lost, I think, almost 80 homes were flooded out. The city of Des Moines is going to buy them out. They said, we can't keep building there. That's a floodplain. Clive, Iowa, announced yesterday they're going to spend $11 million to buy out the homes and businesses on Swanson Boulevard, because it's cheaper to buy them out than to keep replacing them. And that's what you're continuing to see, is this damage.
Rick, we're with Rick Smith, ladies and gentlemen. He is with CitizensClimateLobby.org. We'll have links to all of this up on our radio blog. Rick, one of the things, and you mentioned 55 inches of rain in northwest Iowa, that has a direct impact on an agricultural system that is already under pressure when we take a look at what's going on with the tariffs and the embargoes and the low prices of commodities and all of the things that are negative toward our agricultural community that Iowa depends on and the Midwest depends on. It's no wonder that there have been more bankruptcies in the past 10 years in the Midwest, 97% increase in 10 years. All of this starts to have a bearing, doesn't it?
It does. And I think this is the most critical thing to talk to farmers about. First of all, farmers get it. They understand. Farm Bureau is talking about this. They're not deniers. They're saying this is real. We need to either mitigate or adapt to it. This climate scientist statement I told you about, they're predicting that by 2050, that's just 30 years from now, we could have temperatures in the summertime of 108 degrees. Corn doesn't pollinate at 108 degrees. Pigs, if you can imagine confinement facilities, pigs don't sweat.
Right.
You'd have to air condition these, or there'd be tremendous mortality in animals. So this is the consequence. And they're talking about a 25% reduction in corn yields in just 30 years if we don't act. I mean, these are severe, extreme warnings the climate scientists said are real, and they have the statistic to back it up.
Let me put back on this a conversation I had with a young man who did his master's thesis on climate change and business. And I think this is stunning. His whole thesis was the fact that businesses in the Midwest are going to have to drastically change what they are doing. Everything from outdoor patio furniture people to swimming pool people to barbecue people to construction to air conditioning and heating people, because the climate in Iowa will more likely resemble that of Arkansas than what it does Iowa today. That's a huge change in the business structure of so many places.
It is. And one of the impacts is the rising humidity in Iowa. Since the 70s, we've seen up to a 20% increase in humidity levels in the summertime in Iowa. That's a fifth more humidity, which translates to more rain, but also translates to health risk. So people with asthma, people that, you know, cannot withstand heat and humidity, and it also translates to more mosquito-borne illnesses. So we're seeing mosquito-borne illnesses come in from the tropics up as far as Iowa, which is unheard of. And so that there are health risks. Des Moines University has done a great study on what to expect in terms of health consequences to climate change. And there's a whole, we could talk for an hour about the health risks.
This is stunning information. I think, Rick, what you've done is you've laid out a pretty compelling story about the possibilities of climate change and the impact not only on individuals but also businesses and government. What do we do about all this? What's the goal of citizens' climate lobby? Where do you want to go with this?
Yeah, so now that I've given you the bad news, let me give you some good news.
Please.
I mean, I am optimistic, and I'm optimistic in this sense. I think we've really reached a tipping point in people understanding this is real because of the hurricanes, because of the wildfires out west. It's on people's radar now. And what we're trying to do as Citizens Climate Lobby is find the political will. In other words, talk to our elected officials, make sure they understand the consequences and the risks, and build the political will to address it. Specifically, Climate Lobby, Citizens Climate Lobby, has a bill introduced in the lame duck section called Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend. Now, just to make that real simple, you're going to put a price on carbon.
Sure.
It's very simple. But we don't want to harm consumers, because we know if you raise the price of gas and oil and coal, consumers are going to have to pay for it eventually.
Right.
So it's a dividend. So there would be a dividend back to consumers, and actually for low and middle income people, they would actually be ahead. They'd get more back than they'd pay. It's a what's called a revenue neutral. The beauty of this is we have Republicans and Democrats. It's a bipartisan proposal that was introduced in the lame duck session by Democrats and Republicans, because it's a market-based, it's very appealing to Republicans because it's a progressive program. It's very appealing to Democrats. So I'm encouraged. I'm really encouraged that we have some support out there.
So let's break this down so that everyone is able to understand what we're talking about. So what you're suggesting is, through the Citizens Climate Lobby, this bill would then tax or charge polluters, individuals who are spewing whatever it happens to be into the atmosphere. Now, one of the drawbacks of that, though, is if I am charging the local utility company or whomever that happens to be for the carbon that they're putting into the atmosphere, that means that a consumer is going to have to eat those charges, right? Because the price of electricity or whatever it happens to be will go up. But you're saying that this then dividend that comes from the taxation, if you will, of the polluters comes back to the consumer. Is that accurate?
It's absolutely accurate. That's exactly what we... So let me give you an example.
Sure.
So we put a price on gas. And what they put the price on is actually the carbon dioxide that's produced by the gas. So every ton of carbon dioxide is priced at $10 a ton. That would translate to about 11 to 12 cents a gallon for you and I. So our price of gas would go up 10, 11, 12 cents for each time they increase that fee on carbon dioxide. But the revenue is returned to consumers, and it would be done monthly. Just like you get, if you were on Social Security, you get a Social Security check. If you get a tax refund, it would come like a tax refund from the U.S. Treasury. And this has been researched thoroughly, and we've got tremendous support from not only economists and scientists, but both parties are supporting this.
All right, but here's the question. If if polluters or whomever is spewing whatever toxins or CO2 or whatever, or we as vehicle drivers are putting this into the atmosphere, and that raises prices for the people that are producing the system or driving the vehicles or the buses or whatever it happens to be, and then that money comes back to the consumer, where is the incentive for the polluters, the folks that are putting this CO2 or whatever the gases are into the atmosphere? What's their incentive to then lower their carbon emissions?
So let's talk about who we want to replace the fossil fuel companies with. We want to replace renewables. Iowa's already got a head start. We're getting 37% of our electricity from wind now. We're also building lots of solar. What this would do would make wind and solar and nuclear much more cost effective. So a utility is going to say, do I want to build a coal plant? Do I want to build an oil plant? Or do I want to build more solar and more wind and other alternatives? Absolutely. It would make all fossil fuels prohibitive in cost. So utilities would say, hey, I'm gonna go with the renewables. They're cheaper.
And
that's the concept.
Got it. So and down that line of thinking then, that would dramatically change. And you're correct. Iowa is a leader in the nation in renewable energy production from wind.
Right.
I think it's fascinating. And many states are looking toward Iowa because, well, they see the benefit in all of this. And I think I heard you say the other evening that at one point we hope to have 100% of our...
Exactly. Mid-American, which is one of the utilities in Iowa, expect to be at 100% wind-powered electric generation within 5 years. They're that close.
That's amazing.
So it is amazing. I mean, think about turning your light switch on. 100% of it comes from the wind. I mean, you got to feel good about that. And also, the other key is we have the lowest utility rates in the nation because wind's cheap. I mean, it's become very competitive now. We want to make it even cheaper.
And people wonder why Facebook and all of these other data farms come to Iowa. Well, there's really three very good reasons. Number one, we're giving them lots of money to come here. Number two, we have cheap energy. And number three, we don't have earthquakes.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it all does fit. Rick Smith is his name, ladies and gentlemen. He is with citizensclimatelobby.org. Rick, thank you for this very insightful, a penetrating conversation into the impact of climate change on business. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Once again, that was Rick Smith from Citizens Climate Lobby. We'll have links up on our radio blog so you can find out more. Speaking of more, there's more to come here on the Business News Hour.